You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast, brought to you by the Scottish Rugby Blog. I am Cammy Black. Joining me this evening, to start with anyway, we might have someone else pop along later on. John Anderson, good evening, John.
Yeah, I mean, that does... Good evening, Cammy. That does sound a bit ominous, doesn't it?
It's only Johnny... I mean, it's only Johnny McGinty.
Let's not get too excited. Not Yakko again, or... it's not going to... Not any half-cut... interjections.
Johnny's at rugby training, so we'll let him off, and he's hoping to be along after training to join us. So he's going to pop
he's,
on pop
he's not
on
out
at some
partying,
point.
Like
no, not like not like last week.
Absolute liability, honestly.
When I was away, just I only tuned in very briefly at the end, which was the and we'll talk about the Patreon, the deals you get to pay, the Patreon only part of it. And yeah, it was evident that Johnny had had a good afternoon as a mature student in the university bars. So.
Some boy.
But thank you very much, John. You held the fort down admirably last week. Thank you very much for that.
It's herding cats, it was, but we've done all right.
We came in at under an hour for the main podcast, which is...
Did we? I was certain. I thought we'd went in for quite a while, so that's not too bad.
So, yes, we do this podcast anyway, which you can get on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Now, if you say, Amazon, play the Scottish Rugby Podcast, it plays us inexplicably, because of course, we are the Scottish Rugby Podcast. So, yes, you can find us on all good podcast apps. If you want more content, though, you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast. And for £3 a month, you can get access to ad-free versions of the podcast, as well as a secret social media group where you'll get a bonus video podcast every week, which we also then make available as an audio podcast as well. So like a bit of a part two. And that's where Hands in the Ruck, any fans of Hands in the Ruck, that's where we do that now. We do Hands in the Ruck as a podcast, as a Patreon-only thing where we have a bit of a swear and a bit of a grumble. A bit of a free-for-all, so a bit more free-flow in that one for those that want that. If you pay £5 a month, though, you can have Kenny Murray. Kenny Murray has signed up for £5 a month. He's joined the Doogie Donnelly Lounge. If you pay £5 or more, you get your name read out on the podcast. So thank you very much to Kenny for joining us. You are very welcome. The podcast tonight... Alan McDonald said a rude word in the comments. Alan, I can't... If you want to be funny and have your comments... put up on the screen for us to talk about, which anybody can do watching live, and we'll happily talk about any discussion points people have. But if you're going to use naughty words, I'm not putting it on the screen, Alan.
Exactly. Yes, Alan. Ha!
Respectable member of the community that Alan McDonald is as well.
I know. It's not wrong, though.
He isn't wrong, no. No. I'm not sure if you said Alexa play John Anderson's crap patter, please. Maybe we should try it. If anyone's got Alexa,
try
here,
that. Yeah,
I've probably set someone's Alexa off by doing that.
I know that's.
Should we try it? Let's see if we can say someone's Alexa. Alexa, play that funky music, white boy.
Playing.
That's everybody's music. Yeah, I've now screwed with everyone's Alexa. Yeah. Hilarious.
Well, you can see that the viewership's climbing up gradually now. That's it. This is actually what we're doing today.
So, yeah, we'll start though with we're going to, there's lots of news to get through tonight, but we're going to wait. Well, hopefully Johnny will be joining us later. So we thought we'll start with Pick of the Six, which is our review of the Super Six, the latest round of Super Six fixtures. It's been an odd one this week, John, because I think after Heriot's did well last week, I kind of thought, oh, this is getting interesting. After me saying for the last few weeks, there's three teams clearly, you know, streets ahead. Maybe Boroughmuir Bears, maybe Heriot's are going to turn a corner and surprise us all. But God, I don't know what happened last week.
Yes.
But this week it was a different story because, you know, they lost 41-7 to Ayrshire Bulls in a fairly comprehensive defeat.
It was a spanking. It was really, really, really rough watching, actually. Again, I think, like, you've got to give your credit, right? They executed really well. They just looked the better side, like, front to back. You know, they had some very, very talented players. A couple of the tries, I would maybe say, again, you're looking, you know, I've been going on about defence every time I speak about Super Six, but you're looking at a couple of them going, you know, is really a miss one? Is that really what it's taking to break down a defence at this level? Quite frustrating. But, you know, yeah, it was disappointing because, again, this, like, looking at the fixtures this week after last week, I was kind of thinking, yeah, this could be a really good match, and it turned out to be a massive damp squib.
Yeah, I mean, even the Heriot's try, I was screaming because the air defence just completely switched off. They had no right to score that try. You know, in the middle of the park, they were no clue what they were doing. They switched play very slowly. There's plenty of time for the air defence to get across. They were just, I mean, we've said it before, I think it's something that the top three are going to have to sort out is switching off in defence when they feel comfortable in games. And credit to Ayr, I think after that try, they tightened things up a lot, and they, you know, didn't let Heriot in again. But that you can't switch off like that. I don't know. I guess it's hard to know what's the end game of Super Six. You know, what the aspiration is for Super Six to go on and start entering cross-border competitions. The standard of competition should be good, but they need to be. I think, to give them credit, Ayr were ruthless, but that was a soft try.
Yeah, yeah, and that will annoy the coaches a lot because, other than that, comprehensively they were miles ahead of Heriot's, and. Yeah, just dominated the fixture, but that will play in people's minds because it does tie into a pattern that we're seeing. You know, Ayr have done it, other teams have done it. That shutting down a defence, not, you know, you, like club rugby, sorry, pro club rugby and international rugby is built on defence. It's built on intensity and defence, and if that's not what we're seeing from Super Six. We're seeing some lovely attack. Well, we're seeing some average attacking play that is breaking down very poor defences.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is something there. I think maybe there's a bit of work to be done in terms of maybe getting some of the, I don't know, even as far as does Steve Tandy go around each of the clubs and do a defence masterclass on how we're going to defend as a Scottish team. It's possible even at that level that they're going to have to if they've got any vision of this doing anything.
Yeah, I know, and that's. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, to give Ayr the credit, they were ruthless and probably more ruthless than we've seen any team be so far in the competition, which is good. But and you know that there is ground that separates. I think that those top Watsonians, Southern Knights, and Ayr are clearly the three teams they've generally got everything sorted. And I think that's what made the Watsonian Southern Knights game was a good game of rugby. There was a good mix of, like, there was carrying through the forwards. There was smart play, but they both tossing out to the backs as well. And that, you know, the result didn't go Southern Knights' way. And it went, you know, but Watsonians, again, I think they were ruthless in a way, I think, it's a different kind of, you know, there's ruthless against a team like Heriot's, where, you know, you really should, that should have, they should have nailed, you know, Ayer should have nailed them. And then there's, yeah. I think Watsonians did very well to close out that game once yeah. they'd taken the lead.
They're both very good sides. And the, I thought that was a very good, a very, obviously it's a great win for them. But in terms of the forward dominance, they were two strong packs, really, really going at it. And I thought they got the upper hand in the pack. To an extent that we've probably not seen quite at Super 6 level yet, where one pack has just utterly dominated for a period of time. And that really did set the platform. But again, this is going to sound negative. I don't want this to sound negative. It's all relative to what you're facing. And I think that actually that fixture at the weekend with the Southern Knights, I think is a really good barometer of where they actually are, because they're coming up against another good pack. If they're to do that to possibly any of the other teams, I think you wouldn't take much away from it, because it's all fine and well to be a flat track bully and have forward dominance over a side that just aren't as good as you. And that's not what this is about. We need to, you know, we're Scottish. We will not have forward dominance at international level. We will not have forward dominance at club level. Even if Edinburgh think they're the best scrum in the world. So it's learning how to play around that as well. So I think there's a lot to take away from that. But I thought it was a good game of rugby.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, that's the standard. That's the one. If we want to say, you know, if the Super Six wants to get to a point, which I think it should do, that the teams are able to compete with teams in, again, you know, the top division in Wales.
Yeah,
and even the kind of, you know, the English Championship. That's what the Super Six needs to be aspiring to do, because that's the equivalent level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think is semi pro level. In other that's where they need to be. I think that Watsonian Knights game, you could see with two strong packs going at it and two good sets of backs going at it, and it was that's where that result comes from. Having said that, you know, it's the score, as entertaining as it is, and I hate to be advocating for this. I hate to be advocating for boring rugby, but like you said, John, it's built on defence, and I'm still not convinced that these are good attacks exploiting good defence as much as good attacks just going through mediocre defense, let's call
fairly
it.
Fairly average attacks going through. It's like, so I would liken it to, you've played Risk before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right? It's like you're rolling your three dice and you get two threes and a two, and you think that is a shocker of a roll. But the defense has only rolled, they've rolled snake eyes for their two dice. It's the same concept. You're beating them, but you're not really. You're kind of upset that you rolled so rubbish. It's that's my Super Six is Risk. There we go. Take that one away.
I've only played Risk once.
Have you? Oh, it's fairly good. You should play it more.
No, I played Settlers of Catan once with somebody.
Yes, great.
And I got, they explained the rules to me, which you have to buy. So you have, it's like risk, but you have to go and buy roads and sheep and resources. So I'd had a few beers. So I decided that I was going to just buy sheep from the borders. So I'd had a few drink. And the people that we were playing just kept saying, you can't win with sheep. And I was like, just watch. And you know, you can't tell me not to do something. Like two nights before my weddings, where my brother said, you will not eat three trifles. And I said, I'll show you. And yet, I did eat three trifles. I was very ill the next morning, but I ate the three trifles. That's not the point. I ate the trifles. For Settlers of Catan, I won the game. And then they were like, well, nobody's ever won this by only buying sheep. I was like, well, strategy works.
No one is me. Yeah, so any new listeners to the podcast will be ultimately wondering what the gubbins they have stumbled upon here.
Yeah, buy more sheep. That's how to win the Super Six.
That's the key.
But yeah, I mean, you know, there's lots of good things. I think Sam Daly's quick tap for Watsonians, I really liked that. I thought it was a really smart bit of play, because we saw the, was it in the last Lions test, And I wonder if you thought about this where South Africa took the quick tap,
yep,
but not on the mark. The fact it was, that Sam Day walked around to the referee and tapped it and went over the line. I was like, there's a man who knows his law book.
It was almost like in when you do your driving test and you're told to overemphasize everything so the instructor sees it. It was like, look, I'm on the mark, sir. Tap. And it was really good. It was a good finish as well.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah. And then the Sterling game. I still don't like Sterling shorts.
No.
They still look like something you buy up the Royal Mile for £3 in a tacky shop. That's the only way I could describe them.
Yeah, I think the Super Six for me is now about improvement. It's about quality improvement. And one of the biggest wins we could have is if they fix that. If they just get that sorted. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of good kit suppliers out there who want to give you some decent
shots. It's the pipe, it's the tartan piping.
Tartan should not be on shirts, we've decided.
No, I don't think it should. I don't think you can do it.
Justice.
The one time, the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup 2015 shirt.
Yes.
Just about got away with it.
The green piping down the side.
Yes.
The tartan piping down the side. That was nice.
It's red tartan, I think. That's the problem. Apologies to anybody who's got a red tartan. Not that tartan's actually a thing, because it was made up by Walter Scott for a procession by Queen Victoria in Edinburgh in the 1800s or something. I don't know.
I think there's something about international shirts and tartan in particular that, because you're sometimes, like, a lot of people obviously wear kilts to games, I think it's like double denim. Like, you're clashing. You can't. Fashion tips by John Anderson here. Who would have thought it?
Nobody's double tartan since the Bay City Rollers, John.
Never double tartan. I agree with you. I think red tartan, I'll go a step further. Red tartan is honking. Sorry, guys.
Like I said, apologies to anybody whose family clan tartan, which again are fictitious things. We've lost loads of listeners since we started ranting about tartan, John.
Can you just change your clan name then? Choose a new name. It's fine. To be fair, Anderson Tartan's honking as well, so I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to the rugby. Still in Birmingham Bears. Birmingham again. I like Birmingham's attack.
Yes.
And if they could only sort themselves out in defence, they've got the makings of a very good team. Yes. I think Kalim Barreto has the makings of a good scrum half. I think he overplays sometimes. There's a couple of times where he should have made the pass and he didn't. I think if he works on his game management, I've been very impressed with him. Their pack's looking better, much better condition, but it's just the defense. It's just that's, and again, with every team, that's the issue. I think, like you said, it's good attacks going through mediocre defense, and it's whoever's got the weakest defense loses the match at the minute in Super Six.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think Barreto is always the standout for that team. I think you can tell he's been in the pro environment for quite some time. And around Glasgow, and he's learned from some very good scrum halves there. He never got a shot as such, but then, you know, that's understandable given where they were at. And I think had Jamie Dobie not turned up, maybe Barreto would still be at Glasgow, but Dobie turned up and was regarded a better prospect. So Barreto's kind of career started to stall a wee bit. And I think it's good to see him getting game time, good to see him getting a bit of exposure. And I think it's easier for backs in particular. So thinking about Autumn Internationals, thinking about those times where Six Nations, where Glasgow and Edinburgh are not meant to lose internationals because of the United Fighting Rugby Championship JZ tournament rules. However, we will, because we rest players either side of it, because we're not savages like some other nations. So there's always an opportunity for players to get game time at that point. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if there was a couple of injuries, a couple of things happened, that Barreto might end up on the bench at Glasgow. might even end up in the bench at Edinburgh. Who knows? But, you know, it's, I wouldn't be surprised to see him being considered in that mould again, but certainly not as a pro player. I think you could probably say partnership contract at best.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the look of the Boromir Bears back row. I think they work together very well.
Yeah.
The carrying as well. I think there's a couple of number eights in the Super Six at the minute that look...
Some big boys.
Look the business.
Yes.
Some big boys carrying quite hard. I think, again, we come back to the standard of competition. I think we've had people before contact us on the podcast, listeners, to say that we don't know much about the Super Six. We're either in the club land and we don't really care about anything other than the club and international level. So we don't know much about the Super Six because we don't really care about anything between those two. And then we get people who just like pro rugby and international and yep. don't really know anything about below club because they kind of feel like it's not something to get into. And if you know, we've had a couple of people say, look, we want to get into this. And I think what I would say is that the standard of competition is high. So although we're being, John and I are kind of, sound like we're being negative Nellies here, John, but
we do.
The standard of rugby is high. And with any game of rugby, there are things that can be fixed and there are always things you need to address. The big yes. thing at the minute in the Super Six is defence. I think all teams can work on defence, but the attacking play is exciting. The players are exciting. The competition is exciting. If you have the time, and at the minute, we'll get onto the United Rugby Championship in a minute, but there is time at the minute. There isn't much rugby on at the minute. It's worth watching, even if it's only the 14-minute highlight package that the SRU put out every weekend. It's good rugby.
Yeah, we've said on the previous podcasts as well that actually that highlights package and the stuff they're doing around it is very impressive. So to finish on a positive, you're absolutely right. Like, I came into the Super Six, everybody knows I've had my say about what it was. I've had my say about was it even fit for purpose, etc., etc. I've really enjoyed the games. I've really enjoyed the standard of rugby. I've enjoyed watching players. You can tell those players really pushing for Glasgow, Edinburgh, look at me. You can tell there's players happy at that level and it's a great mixture. The attacking play has been phenomenal. And I think it's really telling, actually, that we are putting that critical lens on it to say, where does this sit in terms of pro rugby? Because you could, in most people's eyes, you could look at the Super Six and say, do you know what? That's a really good wee tournament. It's semi-amateur. Semi-amateur, semi-pro even, sorry.
That's glass half empty. That's glass half empty, John.
I mean, it's not technically wrong, but yeah, absolutely. It's semi-pro. It's there for a purpose. Gives guys a wee bit of game time. Some of the pro boys who are out injured, they'll get their games. It'll do a job. But I think it's clear that we expect a wee bit more of it, and there's a wee bit of an ambition for what it could be.
Yeah,
and because of that, we are being a wee bit more critical of some of the elements of it. But I think they've done a great job, and actually the product's really good.
That's it. I mean, what it needs to be is, like I said, if it can be on a par with the top level club rugby in the neighbouring nations of England, yeah. Wales. I mean, it's not going to be beat with France because that's professional. France tier, what you know, is D2. God, I mean, it's not even professional. It's pretty much just box, like Ultimate Fighting Championship. Yeah. I mean, Nico Matawala has been signed as injury cover. I'm just going to spend the entire time running away from big men, trying not to get gouged,
cowering in fear. Yeah. Who was it that said there was a Scottish boy that went down there? Was it Nick? Did Nick DeLuca go over to France?
Nick DeLuca's played D2. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's commented on D2 before, saying just how terrifying it was.
I tell you it was he plays in Japan now. He played number 8 for Scotland and then he played for Edinburgh for a bit. He looked like the baby in Baby's Day Out. He was Welsh and he played for Bristol. He might be playing for Bristol now. What's his name? That's really frustrating me. He looked like a big baby. That's the only thing I think of. If anyone knows who I'm talking about, because it's driving me absolutely nuts. He played in that. He came on in the All Blacks get the last All Blacks and the All Blacks game, the last All Blacks, that tight All Blacks game. We'll have to look it up.
Yeah,
it was. Wow, the name is on the tip of my tongue. 2017, Scotland and the All Blacks. He came on.
It's not Cornel Dupree. No, he's over it.
No, it's what? Not.
Which is inexplicable as well, just as an aside, by the way.
It was 2017. Who did he... It's not Nick Hanen.
Yeah, I've got it up.
Here's the teams. Let's see. Luke Hamilton. Luke Hamilton, that's who
Luke,
I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, he does
we look got like there in the end. Baby. He does look like a giant baby. There you go. Like Luke Hamilton.
Frame and there's just this tiny little baby head.
Tiny little head. Anyway, it was him. He did an interview where he said he played in D2 and basically at the start of every match, the forwards stood up and just punched each other in the changing room before they went on the pitch.
Oh,
that's not the standard. That's not the standard that we want.
What a time to be alive.
I know. Luke Hamilton, who's currently, I'm trying to figure out where he is at the minute. He's at Oyonnax again, so he's back in the D2, having seven bells punched out of him. But I think that's what we want. It needs to be, it's a good competition where very good, exceptional club players can go and test themselves. But it's still good enough that when young academy players will get a good standard of competition when they're playing, when they're coming through the ranks as well. That's to me what it has to be. And that's what it has to aspire to be. And it's got the makings of being that.
I think so. I think that's exactly where they need to be. But it will take time. Again, quality improvement. Let's aim to have a decent product. We've done really well this year having television coverage, which I was sceptical about. We've had lots of social media coverage, which I'm very pleased about. And, you know, it'll improve. Give it time.
It will do, yeah. It will, yeah, absolutely. And I think you can see the top three teams have got the Watsonians, Southern Knights and here have got the conditioning sorted. They've got the tactics sorted. They're playing like bottom level pro 14 clubs, and that's not bad. That's not damning with fame, but that's I think that's where they are. Those three teams are where they potentially could be. The other teams, you can tell they've got club players in amongst them, particularly in the forwards where conditioning's an issue. A couple of seasons down the line, that's going to sort itself out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The more the guys are in that environment and have. Yeah, the more it takes hold. I think they were so hamstrung by the fact it kind of started and then other things happened, which may have taken over the world. So
yeah. So that's Pick of the Six. We'll back that later on. Let's have a look. What should we do now? Should we talk about Scotland's new attack coach?
Oh yes, please.
Who sounds like a character from Toast of London. Have you watched Toast? It's Alan Basson-Zonda. Sounds like
a good name, isn't it?
Yes, I can hear you, Alan Basson-Zonda.
To be fair to him, I mean, a cracking name, but another fantastic pedigree signing.
Yeah, exciting. I wasn't sure who was going to replace Mike Blair. I was a little bit worried when it got leaked, because the news when it was leaked is he's been brought in as a skills coach.
Yes.
And I thought, here we go again. Gregor Townsend's decided to bring the attack coach role in-house.
Back to Gregor time.
It's back to Gregor time. It's back to taking the...
He had such fun during the Lions. He thought, you know what? This is what I really want to do. Coach Dan Bigger.
Taking the Dennis Waterman approach. I'm going to write the theme tune. I'm going to write the attack approach. Sing the attack approach. But he's been brought in the attack coach. So he's the for those who don't know, he's the former attack coach, I think, for Toulouse. Lots of people saying that Toulouse have got a very exciting attack, top 14 team.
They have a phenomenal attack. I mean, he's been involved. He's been instrumental in kind of rebranding Toulouse rugby, which previously Toulouse, for anyone who remembers the sort of noughties, Toulouse were a powerhouse in French rugby, a massive, massive side. They lost their way. They lost their kind of ideology a wee bit, and he came in and he was part of. He was there for a couple of years, and a very successful couple of years. They won the title last year. Obviously, they've got some phenomenal players there, but we've seen again with our friends, the British and Irish Lions, you can have very good players, but if you don't let them play, then what happens? We end up with stagnation. So he's been credited with a lot of very good stuff down there.
There's been a bit of the normal grumblings you get. Where are the Scottish coaches, John? But
they're getting the head coach gig at Edinburgh. That's where they are.
And I don't think I'm not. You know, Mike Blair obviously has done a good job with Scotland. Yep. It's a shame, you know. I think it's disappointing, and he'll be disappointed that he didn't get a chance this summer to take the squad away and show what he can do. He was obviously coaching at Glasgow before that, but I think outside of Mike Blair, who I think may prove to be the exception to this, I don't think international rugby is a place to serve your apprenticeship.
No, and I think we learned that actually with Gregor Townsend. And we should be remembering that because Gregor Townsend obviously done. He was the attack coach under Scott Johnson.
No, it wasn't. No, he was at Glasgow by the time Scott's Andy.
Did he leave under Robinson?
He left under Robinson. He went to go join Glasgow under Robinson. No, he left. He left that sinking ship well before he saw the signs.
Did he know that?
No, he didn't. Yeah, I think he was signed under Haddon. I think Townsend came in under Haddon and Robinson kept him on.
Yes. Townsend came in as assistant coach in 2008 for Scotland.
Was that under Robinson or Haddon?
It would have been probably the crossover.
Yes, I think we did this for his autobiography.
Yeah, quite possibly. And then he left in 2012, which. Was Robinson still there in 2012?
I think Robinson was still there. I think he leaves in the summer of 2012 prior to... because it was the autumn when Robinson went.
Yeah. No, he resigned in November 2012. So, yeah, okay. No, I accept that Scott Johnson was not involved.
I think there's been... The national setup has in the past been used as a bit of a kind of you can have this guy or we'll bring this guy in. But I think I've no issue at all with a Scottish coach being brought in future to that kind of role. And there's, if they've spent time with Glasgow, I'm not calling for Duncan Hodge to be the new Scotland attached coach by any stretch. But if someone's proven themselves in a coaching role at a decent level, I think John Dalziel's someone that has, and he's obviously in the setup at the minute. There are plenty of coaches, Scottish coaches out there that have done. What we want at national is the best that's available, and this guy is the best that's available. So it's fantastic that we've got him.
It's funny because it's such a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because you have, in certain parts of Scottish rugby fandom, you have... people calling out for Scottish rugby coaches to be prioritised. Where's all the Scottish rugby coaches? We need Scottish rugby coaches who will, in the same breath, decry any type of nepotism. And it's like, you know what? See this guy coming through the system? Like, honestly, right, we all know the kind of the leg up principle. And do you think that maybe if he comes through, if coaches come through and they're good enough, brilliant. Mike Blair, perfect example. Someone who's come in, obviously, has a really good rugby brain, has learned his trade, and he'll do well at Edinburgh. I've got no doubt. Most coaches aren't at that level, and we actually just don't produce coaches quite to that level yet. And that's we've barely managed to produce players to that level to this point. So let's calm our jets a wee bit, guys.
And I think, yet's a big word, isn't it? Because there's a lot of exciting coaches coming through in Super 6. We come back to Super 6. There's a lot of good young coaches coming through Super 6, and that's good to see them get their chance. There's a lot of... maybe Fraser Klein was being announced as the coach heir this week, the club heir rather than Super 6 heir. There's a lot of good young coaches in club rugby and Super 6, and that's... That's where the next generation are coming from. So I think for the minute, though, there's nobody within Scotland, there's nobody who is Scottish that I know of, outside of Clark Laidlaw, who I think is still coaching the Sevens, New Zealand Sevens side, that you would instantly go, there's someone that we can come and bring in as an attack coach at national level.
Yeah, and does it really... this is the thing, and I think ultimately does it really matter to the vast majority of fans who are literally looking at Six Nations and maybe the autumn, probably not even the summer, to be honest, because people forget that rugby takes place then. Are the vast majority of fans actually going to be that bothered when they go, so Scottish attack coach, where is he from? The Scottish scrum coach, where's he from? No, they're going to look at the sides. And yes, they might have a grumble about, oh, that player sounds awfully South African. But they're idiots, so, you know.
Yeah. And look outside of Scotland, I think, apart from France, South Africa and New Zealand, everybody else is coached by a foreign coach.
Yes.
And have foreign coaches within their setup.
Even the biggest rugby union in the world, in our good friends down south, who have coaches, they probably have more registered coaches than we do players. And yet they have turned to a foreign coach.
So they've got Eddie, foreign coaches, because they've got Matt Proud, who's Scottish and South African, Eddie Jones, John Mitchell previously, he's now gone to Wasps. So, no, you go for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at the impact Jason O'Halloran had when he came over.
Yeah.
That to me is the standout. Yeah, Matt Taylor as well, although he left in a bit of a cloud because his defence was crap. But, yeah.
Yeah. So Aldo's on comments on YouTube. Hello, Aldo. He said, if we only ever have Scottish coaches, then ideas run out rapidly. Bringing in guys from outside occasionally gives new ideas and new life to teams. Yep. 100%.
Correct. Spot on. Yeah.
Next then, we've got the women. Scotland women have announced their squad for the World Cup qualifiers. Jade Conkell's back. Yes.
Yay! Oh, no, I'm looking forward to that.
The London Fire Brigade's losses our gain.
Yeah, no, it's great to see her back, isn't it?
Yeah. So she's back. Sarah Bonner's begun a new job with the RAF, apparently.
Yep.
But she's back.
She's back good. For
us,
yep.
Rachel Malcolm is back as well after recovering from injury. It's a good, strong squad, I think I would say. I think it's the strongest possible squad that they could name.
Yeah, I mean, there's no surprises in there. Seeing some of the, you know, maybe showing a little bit of ignorance regarding the women's game, seeing some of the names that everyone knows back is obviously great, but seeing that core of the side that we've kind of followed over the last few years, who've kind of come together and had some very, very good success. Also had some very, very tough times against certain games. It's great to see them kind of keeping that core together, and that can only be a benefit. And adding the quality of Jade Conkell back into that is only going to add to that.
Yeah, I think that. So the games are going. There's a round robin tournament in Parma. Scotland playing Italy, Ireland, and Spain on the 13th, 19th, and 25th of September. Waiting for the definitive fixture list to be announced. The winners will go straight through to next year's World Cup finals, while the runner-ups will enter a repechage. I love that word.
It's such a good word, isn't it? I wish for more opportunities where repechage was used.
It just means another tournament. I don't understand why they use it. Repechage.
Amazing.
So it's... I think the trick's going to be, I mean, obviously there's a, you look at the names in the squad now, and there are a lot of women now playing in the English, in the Premier 15s as it is, and playing in France. There are still players who are playing in Scotland whose season won't yet have started.
Yeah.
And that's like, so we've said before, that's the challenge for Scottish rugby. They did well, I think last time out. It was okay during the Six Nations. It was again. It didn't get finished, but there we are. You know, there were some good moments against England, despite the result.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I think that's one of the games I was thinking about. Despite the result, there was a lot of positives to take away from the performance. We've talked about this in the past in the podcast. It all has to be relative. You know, there's more and more of our women playing at a professional level. There's more and more of our women being exposed to high quality competition, but they are not the England women's team. And the England women's team have been professional for years. They have, you know, they're the best women's side in the world. So we, our competition has to always be relative. And it's like, can you stay in the game for 20 minutes? That's kind of the level they're at. And there's no shame in that because, you know, hopefully this time, can you stay in the game for 25 minutes? Can you stay in the game for 30 minutes?
And yeah, it's about building. And we've beaten France, you know, and we've, you know, they've beaten France. Like, you know, let's not forget, you've beaten France. So they've beaten the big, you've got to take a scalp every now and again. You're going to take, you know, push teams, cause difficulties for team. That's the thing. I think qualification for the World Cup absolutely is achievable for this group of players.
It is, yes.
And should be. And you know, we wish them the best and we'll follow them all the way. And it's exciting to see them with a full strength squad. And from what Brian Easton, this quote from Brian Easton on the Offside Line article, talking about how, you know, they've been doing training camps, been getting together. So, you know, you hope that's enough that they've, to get the conditioning right and get them playing together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Shall we do... What should we do next? Johnny's not here.
Johnny's not here. And he's honestly, I need a comfort break, Cam. I'm going to have to... You're going to have to go in monologue.
Look, we've got... I'm hoping, Johnny, we've got a message in. Is this an update from Johnny? It's not. It's you saying it. It's just John complaining that he needs a comfort break on my thing.
I was simply telling Johnny to hurry up.
Because you need a comfort break.
Yeah.
John, if you want to, if I can monologue while you go for a comfort break. So, this year on the podcast, we are looking for your stories, we're looking for your input. So if you're attached to a club, if you have a rugby story to tell, then please get in touch. You can email me podcast@scottishrugbyblog.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter @CammyBlack. What we want to do is we have more interviews. We want to do more about what's going on at club level, what's going on in the rugby community in general. We're going to try and do a few specials for our patrons, where we kind of look at the future of rugby at international level, at club level, at pro level. So you'll have that to look forward to. But again, any stories at all you've got, just drop me an email, podcast@scottishrugbyblog.co.uk. And we want to try and kind of mix things up a little bit for the podcast, make things a little bit different. In a minute, though, when John gets back from his comfort break, we're going to talk about the United Rugby Championship. There's been two big bits of news with this. The first bit of news, and here he's back. You did that, John. Well done. There's two big bits of news that we need to cover. In the last, we've got 15 minutes left of the regular podcast. We should kind of talk about the United Rugby Championship before we finish, John. We've had the fixtures announced and we've had the TV deals announced, both of which have been incredibly controversial in Scotland. Shall we start with the TV rights?
Let's do TV first.
Do TV first.
It's so, probably how most people are watching it this year.
So the TV rights north of the border in Scotland, the only TV that coverage for Scotland matches, Scotland professional matches, Glasgow Warriors and Edinburgh.
Glasgow and Edinburgh, yep.
He's on. He's going to be on the through Premier Sports, which is £12.99 a month.
Yes, it is.
Because some of us cancelled our subscription when there's no rugby on. You get. I mean, to be fair with that, you get top 14. They've now got top 14 rights to top 14 as well, and they've got some Scottish. They've got some football as well.
Yep.
So there's Finn's playing at the weekend.
Racing 92. I don't know if he's announced in the team.
I was going to say, did you see the state of him in Greece on his Instagram?
Legend.
That's a man that needs, there's a man that needs to, is going to have a rough pre-season. Good God. Chris Harris seems to have embarked on a world tour. Chris Harris was last pictured on a pedalo in Monaco with Louis Riesamet. He just seems to be embarked on it, like, you know, like in the 1800s when you used to have these artists who would go off on their kind of grand European tours. That's been Chris Harris post Lions. He's off to go and paint some French women in a brothel.
Absolute legend, Chris Harris is. I every time I mention Chris Harris, I have new levels of absolute respect for this man. He's just heroic.
So we've talked about this so much. I think there's a frustration this time round
Yes.
that the BBC haven't come in for some games, and well, I get that.
They have.
Have they?
BBC Northern Ireland have.
Right.
So BBC Northern Ireland have some coverage for the Ulster games.
BBC Wales have coverage.
BBC Wales have coverage for some of the Welsh games. BBC Scotland, however, do not.
And this is a frustration. That is a frustration. You know, I think you've got Premier Sports have come in and they've invested in the Super Six, right? They've said they've come in and from what we've heard have actively said we want to cover this. For free, Joe, because it's on Free Sports and the Free Sports app. We ought to cover this for free. There is rugby for me now in Scotland is at a level where there should be sufficient interest for the BBC to carry a few games.
Aye.
Even if it's the 1872 Cups and even the bloody South African games.
Yeah.
You're going to have international play, you know, international South African, you know, you're going to have Sia Khaleesi playing in bloody Murrayfield and on a Saturday night. You know, that should be enough. It should be enough. And also, I think outside of that, even if you go for, we'll do a Welsh game on BBC Scotland because you're going to get viewing figures.
Yeah, it's
from Wales.
Anyway. Yeah,
we're going to do an Ulster game because we know we're going to get viewers in from BBC Northern Ireland. It makes no sense that there aren't that the BBC Scotland haven't come in for some free tier games.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and it probably does speak to how to put this delicately. It speaks to possibly Scottish rugby's growing relationship with pay TV, and that, you know, and I've. Hands here, I have no issue whatsoever with it. I am in a privileged position in that I can pay for these things, and I'm happy enough to pay for them. I know it is really crap for some supporters, and I know actually, particularly Glasgow fans, I know of many Glasgow fans who got into watching Glasgow by sitting listening to Hugh Dan on BBC Alba, by seeing the games in free to air, just. You know, you come across it and you go, oh, I'll put this on and see what it's all about. So I get that. I see what the SRU are doing in terms of, you know, there is probably a cozying up somewhat with Amazon, Premier Sports, maybe not Sky and BT yet, but who knows? We'll see how that goes. It just does seem strange that it's everyone but us.
I think it's hard, isn't it? Because I suppose it depends how many of the Scotland games, we don't know this yet, I don't think. Has there been a deal where some of those games are going to be on Free Sports? Are we going to have a higher proportion of the Scottish games on Free Sports because we haven't got free to air? I'll bring Johnny in as well. Hello, Johnny. We're talking about TV rights, Johnny. Good evening. Welcome, Johnny.
Just McKinney's the time. Now.
You missed
about 5 minutes too late, buddy.
John needed a wee, so I had to fill for a bit.
I messaged you. I was like, Johnny, you really need to get a move on here, pal.
I just saw that when I came in. I've literally just come in from training.
Honestly, they work you too hard at your training.
I know.
Get them told.
Shocking. We're talking TV rights, Johnny, and the fact that there aren't any free-tier games, or apparently no free-tier games, because, of course, we forget Premier Sports have got Free Sports.
Yeah. It's funny, because actually, this time last week, we were speaking about the Super Six, and my belter last week was accessibility of the Super Six is really good, and that's what they're doing right in Scottish rugby, making it so easy to find the Super Six on BBC, on YouTube, on Free Sports, on whatever, and then the URC fixtures came out and everybody's got free to air except Scotland, so...
But is that because... Free Sports might be considered their free to air option, and actually, if you think about it, both the Scottish clubs, we talked when the Ultimate Fighting Rugby Championship was announced that Scotland are playing the Italian sides more than others, because there are derbies. So
the Scottish Italian Shield.
That's it. Yeah. So actually, Is it that because the Italian sides have traditionally been on free sports because, well, they're mints, apart from the one that's now the champion. Figure that. Ugh, anyway. But their viewership is lower, and typically they would be in free sports. Maybe that is what we're saying. It wasn't even worth BBC bidding because, you know, it's on free sports anyway.
Over a higher percent, I think we might see it. It'd be interesting to know what discussions have happened behind closed doors with the SRU. The SRU have a good relationship with Premier Sports, where Premier Sports are now carrying the Super Six. Have they said, look, you can have all of the Pro 14, the United Rugby Championship games, but you're going to have to make more of them available on free sports. We can't have them all behind a paywall because we need some accessibility for the more casual rugby fan that's going to stumble across this.
Yeah, I mean, possibly, that's probably fair. But then anyone who's tried to find free sports in their Virgin Media box will know that it is not a casual stumble.
But nobody, like my dad put on the telly. I was staying at my mum and dad's last week. My dad put the telly on this week when I was at his house. And suddenly I was like, are you watching live telly? And he was like, yeah. I was like, who watches live telly? Like, seriously, who puts just the telly on to see what's on and, like, cruises through the channels just to kind of find something to watch? I think people stumble across. I don't think people are, like, channel surfing and landing on BBC Alba going, oh, look, here's some rugby. I'll sit and watch this. Maybe it happens. I don't know. Maybe, but I don't know. The shock that came over me as a 40-year-old man watching live telly.
That's important to re-emphasise that, Cam, as well, that you're now
Christ, I'm
you're now entering the twilight years.
It's all downhill from here now. I'm 40, Christ.
That's it. Yeah,
you're a whole new vaccine group now.
I know. I've moved from my risk's gone through the roof.
It's when he has to fill out forms now and he has to tick that next box down.
It's a miracle I've managed to get the stream working tonight.
It's a miracle you're not on here being total, like, I thought at age 40, that's when you go down the Pete Gammon route as well, so, like...
This time, let's say we'll wait to Hans in the Ruck.
New and improved cameo on Hans in the Ruck.
I will have improved, we'll see that.
I'm amazed that you're the one that had to stop the recording to go for a pee, John, now that he's 40.
Well, yeah, that's true, mate, yeah, I know. It may be some questions to be asked there. There's nothing saying he hasn't got a catheter under there, though.
I now record in the same room as where the downstairs loo is, so I can't, it's just handy, it's just next door.
My connection's dropping.
Let's move on. That's the TV, right? Let's move on to fixtures then. Because the big talking point this week has been the ERC fixtures. I tell you, we're going to do this briefly because we've got. I want to try and keep the main pod under now. We can bleed this over into Hands in the Ruck for our patrons. But
yes.
John, you're unclear. I mean, I know you for one are unhappy with the way the fixtures have landed. Do you want to just kind of run people through why?
So for those who don't know, Rugby in Glasgow has always had some competing priorities for a lot of supporters, both in club rugby, people who play rugby, who support their local clubs. There are a lot of local clubs in the West, but also there's a lot
not
of...
Not calling
local...
the SRU.
No, there's not a lot of Super Six clubs in the West. We also have... There's a certain... other sport with a round ball that apparently dominates a lot of things in and around this part of the world. So rugby in Glasgow has always traditionally been Friday night lights at Scotstoun. Friday night, you start your weekend off, you head over there after your work, you go, you let off some steam, you enjoy the rugby, and then your weekend is free to do as you please, be that go and support Rangers, Celtic, Partick Thistle et al., or go and play club rugby or support club rugby. That has been utterly... I mean, the fixture list actually has taken that and has all over it, because most Glasgow games are on Saturday afternoons at 3 o'clock. That's a good kickoff time, isn't it? When does Club Rugby kick off, Johnny? Just as an aside.
Yeah, that'll be Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Bingo, yes. Good. Yes. Yes. So we've had, after the release of the fixtures, we have had a statement from Big Al himself saying that we are aware that these fixtures are quite unsatisfactory for the support. Sorry, I should do it. We're aware that these fixtures are unsatisfactory for the supporters, and therefore we are doing our best to get them changed. Nothing is going to happen. It's going to be 3 o'clock kickoffs on a Saturday from now till, I think, the first Friday one we have is, it's like January, or it's quite late on in the season. So
your first Friday fixture is against Ulster, but it's away. Your first Friday fixture home, you don't have one.
Oh, that
yet. There you go. We don't have one because they've only confirmed fixtures up till the 8th of January. After that, it's all week of because they're waiting to confirm that. But up to the 8th of January, there is no Friday night fixtures. One Monday against Edinburgh on the 27th of December. So, that's the traditional Boxing Day fixture.
Edinburgh are not in a better position with this as well. They have 5:30 kickoffs on a Saturday.
They've got one Friday night kickoff against Benetton on the 3rd of December. But that's it.
That's the day before my birthday. I might go to that game.
Do you see what you've driven John Anderson to? He's going to actively support Edinburgh because Glasgow don't have Friday night fixtures.
I mean, I didn't
see. Imagine how much
Edinburgh at the game.
Imagine how much you'd enjoy your birthday the next day if the night before you'd spent watching Edinburgh Benetton in their big tent.
I know.
Your birthday would seem brilliant after that.
Exactly. It wouldn't matter what I did for my birthday. It would just be spectacular. And then me and Ian are going on the Sunday to go and see some pirate metal. So, I mean, life is good that weekend. Life is good.
It's hard though, Johnny, isn't it? Because, I get it. The Glasgow kind of built their fan base on Friday night fixtures. And the kind of Friday night lights have, come along to Glasgow. This is something different. It's professional rugby. I think Glasgow more than Edinburgh, there are a lot of Glasgow fans who are just Glasgow fans. That's why they go. They don't have a club to follow. They've kind of fallen in love with rugby because it was there almost. And now it's not. It's not an option to go to these games if you've got other commitments or other sports you follow, particularly in Glasgow where it's not, it's not the dominant sport.
Yeah, it's a shame, and it does kind of feel like, I don't want to say Glasgow are shooting themselves in the foot because I don't think that Glasgow and Edinburgh had all that much to do with this. Like, I don't think that our two pro clubs have gone out of their way to stick a knife in the back of all their fans, because the teams are well aware that Friday nights are where they got the big crowds from, and they know, like Glasgow in particular, they know they're competing with football. It's not like Al Kelical have gone in there and gone, oh, we'll have as many 3 o'clock Saturdays as you can give us, please. and I think I think the people who are on the Glasgow Facebook page and the Glasgow Twitter and things saying, well, this is a disgrace, I'm handing back my season ticket, you've ruined my year, I can't follow rugby anymore. I don't think the teams are at fault. There's a lot at play here. There's now 16 teams. There's, five or six broadcast partners. There's Jay-Z. I don't think that Glasgow are turning up and going, we want the Friday nights, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Could similarly to Cammy with his kids asking him to email Walt Disney, could someone get me the email for Jay-Z to sort this?
This is a pre-podcast chat where I said that my kids, occasionally when you go on Disney Plus, it comes up with an error message that says, there is a fault with this program, please contact Disney. Because my eldest can now read quite well, she said, "Dad, there isn't a problem. This can be easily solved. You just have to phone Disney." And so I had to explain that he's now a head in a jar, and there's not much he can do about it. And he probably won't take my call. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that the Friday night fixtures for Glasgow is one of the 99 problems that Jay-Z has.
Well, if the SRU ticketing office could just email me back based on that,
I get. I mean, I get that people have renewed their season tickets on the basis that there would be enough games for them to go to to make the season ticket worthwhile. And for those that they can't make, someone else can go in their stead. So all of a sudden to find that you can go to zero games, you know, that's a big miss.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. What we're going to do then, that's it for the main podcast. We're done for this week. We'll be back next week, more Super Six. We're building up to the United Rugby Championship. I've got the name down. I've got the name down now. Well, can't say Foz, and it's the Fosrock Super Six. I've got that right as well.
Season fixtures this weekend.
Exactly, exciting. Oh. So we'll have all that to talk about next week on the podcast. What we're going to do though, for we're going to say goodbye to our main listeners. Now we're going to go and do a little podcast extra for our Patreons only. So for the moment, it is goodbye from me and goodbye from John and Johnny.
Hey all.
Bye-bye.